So I turned the news on the TV, and turns out, yeah, there were bushfires, and they'd been where we'd been just 2 days before. Like, because like those roads that we were on in the Adelaide Hills, these are small, windy roads. I mean, if fire had come, we would have been fairly trapped.
On this episode, we're going back to Australia's outback for more stories about the dangerous bushfires. We learn how downloading an app and tuning into a radio before you head out might just save your life. And while sleeping with the windows open during bushfire season might not be a good idea. Damn, it'd be hot outside. For those of you who use Celsius, the entire world, we're talking 40 degrees. For those of you who use Fahrenheit, United States of America, we're talking over 100 degrees. Bring lots of water, it's gonna be a scorcher.
You're listening to the Travel Horror Stories Podcast, a show that listens to real stories from travel bloggers and travelers just like you. Then we unpack those stories to discuss safety tricks, prevention treats, horror hacks, and follow-up tactics. The goal is to turn travel nightmares into dreams of beaches, sunshine, and margaritas.
And as always, you can head over to TravelHorrorStoriesPodcast.com for this and all the previous episodes, show notes, and links to all the places you go to enjoy your favorite podcasts. If you're listening via Apple Podcasts, don't forget to give the episode a 5-star rating and leave a comment, because that will help more people find the show.
And now live from the Rudderless Travel Studio in downtown Toronto, Canada, here's your host, Christopher Rudder.
And away we go. The weather outside is definitely hashtag winter is coming. It's fall. It's the third week of October. Summer has definitely left the building, and it's slowly getting colder and colder. You know, the only thing I like about October is Thanksgiving and Halloween. Family, friends, turkey, pie, and chocolate. All of which, might I add, has been completely screwed up thanks to COVID-19 and this second wave. So, there's still that, unfortunately. But in lieu of that, this year, what I'm thankful for is you. I'm so glad you guys are here today, hanging out with me, and we got another great episode for you. With me today on my rudderless flight is Alex and Belle. Now, Alex, you've been on the show before telling your COVID-19 story back in Catania and all that. And so, but then in recording that episode, I discovered that you and your wife, Belle, were actually in the bushfires in Australia. And we did an episode about that with Nora. So it was just interesting to bring you back again to tell those stories. So before we get into all that, let's just quickly, tell us about yourself, Belle, and welcome, Belle. And Alex, welcome back. And tell us a little bit about yourselves and tell us a little bit about your blog.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's really good to be back. We had an interesting time last time chatting with Laura about our experience escaping the European pandemic. Belle and I, we've been married 15 years now, and we have had the Wanderlust Marriage site since 2013. We launched it while we were living in Ireland. Since then, we've also lived in Boston, and we've been in DC 3 years now. So the website now has a mid-Atlantic focus after having not exclusively mid-Atlantic, but it was Ireland and then New England and now mid-Atlantic, but also covering international destinations, giving people tips where to eat and drink and stay and have a nice time during their travels.
Awesome. So I have a question for you guys. How are you guys managing being a couple, being stuck in the same place? Do you guys have rules? Because, I mean, I know for us over here, between Gordy and I, we have rules. Like, there's certain times where I'm banished to the office and she's in the bedroom because we're in a condo. And there's certain times where we're just completely separated, and because we literally cannot be around each other all the time. It's quite interesting experience to try to test relationships. So I was wondering, how are you guys faring during this relationship testing time?
I would say that we've been doing pretty well. So it's been just over around 2 months since Alex got back that we've been inside together with each other. And we've had some moments of frustrations with each other. And we are also in an apartment situation. So there's not a lot of space. There are some rules for, I think, during the work day where, you know, if you need your space, we are separated from each other. And I guess like we've been sort of coping with it by having stupid inside jokes that nobody else would find probably pretty amusing, but we've somehow managed to amuse ourselves. So one of them that I can share, I think, is inside voice. So sometimes Alex shares thoughts where I'm like, no, no, that's inside. That's an inside voice thought. Please don't say that out loud. So we have these jokes like this where it's just now that we're spending all day, every day together. And we have spent a fair bit of time together working remotely before, but not so confined.
Right.
And so now this is a joke that we are making among some others to try and lighten the mood sometimes when things do get a little bit real and difficult to sort of, yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, actually, not good advice. I think that's fantastic. Inside voice, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's play a little game, because I can tell just by the way that you guys have to deal with each other that you guys are down for having some fun. So let's play a little game. We're gonna play three stories, two truths, one lie. Now Alex played this game last time, so Belle, this is 100% on you. Alex is not allowed to participate because he probably knows if you're lying or not. So you're gonna tell me three quick stories and I'm going to try to figure out which one is the lie.
Okay. So, all right, the first one. Let's see. So, okay. Some of these are older. So when I was backpacking in Europe, in Vienna, I had made some friends actually in Croatia and bumped into them on the street in Vienna. We decided to go to the Belvedere Museum, and so they had their backpacks actually because they were leaving later in that day to go to their next destination, but I decided to tag along with them for the day. And so we were crossing the street and it was kind of a dreary rainy day, and the Walkman had turned from green to flashing red, and probably red. We weren't really paying attention, we were busy chatting, and this tram came along and it saw us, but it was like, no, you are not in the right of way. I'm in the right of way. So it just kept going and knocked me in the shoulder and pushed me to the ground.
Oh my gosh.
And of course caused a huge commotion where there was an ambulance called, and we all went to the hospital to find out whether I'd broken anything. Oh, luckily, I had not broken anything, but needed some serious cleaning up. I'd lost some skin. And anyway, we had this little adventure, these Australian girls and I, and they went on their way. And I went back to the hostel where I was staying, and they'd called because they asked where I was. The ambulance had asked where I was staying. And so they'd called the hostel to let them know one of their guests was in the hospital. And so when I got there, the guy was like, oh, you're back. He's like, when people get hit by trams, they don't normally come back. So luckily, I... just needed some rest and had just needed a little bit of wound care, but nothing too. It was a lot of shakeup, but thankfully nothing broken. So that was Vienna, and then in Berlin, I was staying in a hostel again. These stories are from back when Alex and I met, and we were staying in youth hostels, and so. I'd again made some friends in the room, and we'd been out sightseeing in Berlin, and we found ourselves in an Irish pub having some drinks, of course, and chatted with some locals and made friends with them, and we're having more beers. But you know, it'd been a long day, so the girls I'd been traveling with had decided, oh, we're gonna go back and get some rest, but I decided to stay, so kept drinking. I was like, one more, I'll have one more and I'll be back at the hostel, no problem. But yeah, one more is often not one
of course,
more.
Yeah.
And so then the lights flash on and it's time to leave. And so, you know, I think I know where I'm going. I'm, you know, I been in Berlin a couple of days, so I'm certain of where I am. And I say bye and off I go, thinking I'm walking in the right direction, but quickly realized I was not walking in the right direction and not sure where I was. And this was like 2001 or two, I forget now, but it was, you know, pre-cell phone, being able to look on a GPS, blue dot, where am I? And yeah, basically ended up spending several hours wandering around in the middle of the night looking, or wee hours of the morning at that point, looking for something that looked familiar. But at night, everything looks a little different. You know, things are closed. And eventually the sun started coming up and there was a coffee shop that was open. So I got some coffee and got some directions and made my way back to sleep for most of the day then.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay.
So, and then the last one is a more recent story. And so we had been traveling in Greece for a family trip, and we had caught the ferry from Athens to Naxos in the evening. So we'd arrived in Naxos, it was dark. And so we'd walked to the hotel, and we woke up in the morning and it was this beautiful sunny day, and it was, you know, still fairly early. So I said to Alex, I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go for a run. It is so lovely today. So he's like, do you have to? Can't we just go have a relaxing breakfast? And I was like, no, I just really want to like get a feel. It's so pretty and I'm just going to go for a run. I'll be quick. And he's like, all right, fine. Be healthy, girl. And so off I went. And probably about 500 meters from the hotel, I trip and face plant into the concrete.
Oh my gosh.
And I bust my lip open. It is spurting blood. And luckily this elder man helps me get off the street and onto the sidewalk, and someone comes to check, like, you know, can it, like, will it stop bleeding? No. So I call up Alex. And we were traveling with his older dad, he's in his 90s. And so he was like, when he heard me crying, he thought like something had happened to his dad. And so he just hung up, he ran down to the lobby and then found no one there. And so I called him again, explained where I was. But by the time he got there, the ambulance had came, they had to take me to the hospital because the bleeding was not going to stop. So Alex found the pool of blood and texted me, "Is this your pool of blood?" And I texted back with just yes. And so then he found his way to the hospital and he was not pleased. And I had 8 stitches, 4 in the front, 4 in the back of my lip. And I also had a fractured nose. So I was a mess. And he was like, "So much for that quick run and a relaxing breakfast." And, you know, it made the trip difficult because it was hard to eat. But now it's a story.
So,
there you go.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I think you took a page out of Alex's book, because last time we played this game, he put a lot of details in his stories except for one. And we were able to guess which one was a lie because it had the least amount of detail. But you put detail in every single story. So I'm just going to split the difference, and I'm just going to say, I'm just going to try to use as much logic as I can. And if you had 2 hospital stories, I'm just going to stay with those 2 as being true, and you getting lost in Berlin is a lie.
Wow, very good, Chris. Good job.
That's true. Sadly, I am that accident.
That's what I was. I mean, as soon as I heard the first story, I was like, "Whoa, okay." So I just took a guess and just said, "Look, man, she already told me 2 hospital stories. One of them has to be true." So I'm just gonna go with both of them. So yeah, no, that's oh my gosh. So are you gonna become like a regular guest on this show?
I hope not. So we have talked about running, because I really love running in new locations, because it's a chance to, like, really, you know, you can cover a lot of ground when you go for a run. I mean, it is challenging because you need to pick where you run and stuff like that carefully and things like that. You don't necessarily know what the neighborhoods are like, but you do get a sense of like a city in a way that you don't. I even went running in Mexico I stayed on the main street, but I didn't feel unsafe in Puebla. It was fine. And so I really love it. And after the accident, you know, the first one I went, we were in Chicago and we were meeting someone for dinner and I said, I'll be quick. And Alex was like, don't say that.
We all know what that means.
You know.
Don't jinx it.
He's like, please be careful. And so I do have to be careful because I am a little bit accident prone. And, you know, even when I'm at home, I'm accident prone. So...
Awesome. Those are fantastic stories.
What would you do if while visiting family and friends up in Australia's New South Wales, you find yourself narrowly escaping Australia's bushfires?
So I understand that you're from Australia. So how did that come about? I mean, were you visiting Australia again, or was this a time when you were already living there? Or so how did that come about?
Yeah, so I mean, I lived there until I was 24. So you know, I've been around bushfires. I grew up in a country area and had friends that were in voluntary firefighters. You know, Australian, like, I'm not sure entirely how it works here in the US with that, but in Australia, if you grow up in small country towns of a few hundred people, you know, a lot of people join up and do the training to become volunteer firefighters to protect, you know, their community. And so I'd grown up with that as a kid and teenager. And so, you know, I had been fairly aware of like what it means to have bushfires around and things like that. But honestly, living in, you know, the US and then in Amsterdam and Dublin, where, you know, the threat of bushfire is not super high, I'd sort of forgotten a lot about it and, you know, really put it to the side. You know, I would watch on Facebook sometimes as friends would share pictures of things going on, but, you know, it wasn't something that we had to really worry very much about. But, last year, we decided to do a trip for Christmas. My brother and his wife just had a baby, and we really wanted to go meet our niece. So we were super excited. And so we planned a trip for Christmas to sort of spend time with family because we hadn't done that in Australia as Alex said, we've been married 15 years and we got married and then left Australia very shortly thereafter. So, you know, we haven't had like Christmas in Australia for a while. So we figured this is a great time and, you know, now my job's a bit more flexible. I can't take my work internationally. It's not allowed. So it was like, this is truly a vacation. So that was really nice. And so we planned to go to South Australia. You know, when we've talked about the potential of moving back to Australia a few times, like, you know, Adelaide is somewhere I've always been interested in as a possible location. And so Alex hadn't been there and we're like, okay, let's go to South Australia. So we flew there and rented a car and just decided, you know, to meander around the countryside and, you know, go to some wineries and walk on the beach and do all these nice things. And so the first day, no problem, but it is hot in Adelaide. Like, for those thinking in Celsius, it's like in the 40s. And for those in Fahrenheit, it's like over 100 and it's hot.
Wow. My gosh.
And yeah. So I do not love that kind of heat. But, you know, so we've got the car, the AC, all this. And so we were driving to go to a couple of wineries and we were taking the back roads so that we could, you know, really take time to sort of just take some photos and enjoy it. And we stopped at a few lookouts and I did say to Alex, I was like, man, it is so dry out here. Like there, you know, if you just flipped a match, like this thing would just like, woof, it would go up. Like you could just see the heat radiating off it and how dry it was. And, you know, there'd been already bushfires in New South Wales, but South Australia hadn't had that many. They'd had a couple of small ones, but not too bad. And so we like keep going that day and, you know, enjoy the wineries and have a relaxing dinner by the beach. And it's really nice. So we have a couple of days like that. And then on our last day, I was looking out the window. We had kept the car, but we were planning to go down south to a beach. And I was looking out the window and I was like, is that haze or is it like heat haze or is that smoke?
Oh my gosh.
Like, we hadn't been checking. Because like I'd sort of forgotten that was something that you might want to do. And so I turned the news on the TV and turns out, yeah, there were bushfires and they'd been where we'd been just 2 days before, like where we had decided to drive, like those areas would have been, if we had just blindly gotten in the car and gone in that same direction, like we would have, I don't know what, I mean, there would have been barricades and things like that in place, but like, some of those roads we were on, like they're pretty isolated and, you know, you're driving in the country. Like you kind of like, I think if you're not from these sorts of areas and used to these sorts of risks, it's very easy to feel like, oh, I've got a car and, you know, I've traveled a lot, you know, we're good. And, you know, sometimes that's a little bit, and I'm in my own home country, like you sort of relax and you, but you know, I haven't lived there for 15 years, so I forget some of these things. And we were lucky, like we kept our eye more on it. Like I put the app on my phone so I could like follow where the bushfires were popping up. And we did that day keep a much closer eye on where bushfires were, because even when we were driving, we went, the bushfires were, I think, like slightly northeast of Adelaide, near the Adelaide Hills area, and we had gone down more south, but we were like watching where they were popping up, and you could see in the, it was so hazy everywhere we were going that you could tell that they couldn't be that far away, or at least the wind was blowing the air down that way and you could sort of smell it on the air for sure. And you know, it's devastating, I think, to these communities, like how dry it is in Australia these days. You know, when I was a kid, it was dry, but I mean, the bushfires this season, I mean, I don't know. It's really horrible to watch on TV and just see your country like inflamed, and to see that they were warned, that we've been warned of these things, that it's coming. I mean, there were bad bushfires, I think it was 2008 or 2009, and a girl I went to high school with, her husband passed away. Wow. Trying to fight the fires.
Oh,
and so, you know, you really, it's real in Australia. Like most people have family who fought in the fires, or and some people have got family who, you know, have passed away fighting those fires. And the fact that we're not doing more to try and like sustain the environment there, like, it's so beautiful. It's such a beautiful country. Like the countryside is amazingly beautiful to explore, and the culture, it's really lovely. And we're just sort of, I don't know, not paying enough attention to mining practices that go on in Australia. I'm not up on all of the issues these days, but yeah, the government there is not that great. And I mean, the Prime Minister, when we were there, he actually was on vacation in Hawaii, and I think it was an undisclosed location for a while. And while this was happening, like New South Wales was on fire, and South Australia, and I think there was a couple in Victoria as well at that point. And he was on vacation, and people were just like, "You're so out of touch! Like this country is like, you know, on fire and you're in Hawaii having a vacation, lovely, fancy vacation with your family." And I think after we left Mallacoota, which we used to go to when I was a kid, like that's the town where people were on the beach getting in boats, and it had just, you know, been caught sort of a little bit by surprise. Cause you know, fires are really unpredictable. That's one of the challenges with fire, is that like they can predict it might kind of go this direction, but all it takes is for one wind flip and, you know, it completely changes, and that's hard to predict.
This segment is brought to you by GPS My City. Do you love exploring cities on foot at your own pace? Well, GPS My City's mobile apps, available on iOS and Android, feature self-guided city walks and GPS-powered travel articles written by travel bloggers and travel content creators for over 1,000 cities worldwide. visit the link in the show notes to learn more. All right, let's break this down.
When I was talking with Nora about it, she said, so as you talk about the wind, so that's a huge deal because the wind's going to change the direction. But she also talked about some things happening where the fire could essentially jump in front of you because of the wind. And then all of a sudden you could find yourself surrounded by fire and then you actually can't get out. That was a huge problem. And she also mentioned that there was one town, and I can't remember the name of it. I think it was called Maryville or something like that. But it was a town that was completely decimated by the fire. And she did mention Victoria. I think that's where she ended up trying to outrun it. So, I mean, it's absolutely crazy. So you bring up, I mean, it's something that's completely scary. And as a tourist, you're right. If you're just driving around, like wandering the streets, you could very well find yourself trapped in somewhere where you can't get out, especially if it's one-way streets and things like that. So, not one-way streets, sorry, like limited streets, if it's just one street going through the area and one street coming out kind of thing. With regards to, you know, what do you think that in hindsight, and not just for yourself, but other people who might be visiting places like Adelaide and Victoria, at times in a country that's known for bushfires, what are some things that you think that people can do to help themselves? And what are some of the things that you feel that you would change for yourself? Like, what do you feel that you did right? What do you feel you did wrong? What do you feel you could have done differently with regards to your situation in the bushfires? I don't know if that's too much questions, but
I would say one thing that we definitely should have done differently, and for anyone going to Australia, there are apps you can download, and I wish I remembered the name of the app because we didn't download it. But when I went to New South Wales, and we had been in Victoria as well, but we were in Victoria before the bushfires got bad, because Victoria's a little cooler, so we got there in December. The bushfires there really flared up in January. And then Belle had to come home earlier, and I went to New South Wales, which is where the worst, I mean, it was bad in South Australia too, but the worst was in New South Wales. And my stepsister, I was staying with her and her husband, because my dad's older. I'm like, this is like third family. My sister was like his second family, but she had the app on her phone. And with the app, like just Google like Australian fire app, and one will come up, and they're constantly, you know, being updated. And, you know, when she was showing me the app, she's like, yeah, look at the fires. And like, I mean, there were just fires all over New South Wales. It was absolutely insane to see that. I mean, the worst on record. Wow. Australia deals with bushfires a lot, similar to California, but this was the worst on record in the history of Australia. So it was serious business. My stepsister told me, like, don't leave your bedroom window open overnight, because if there's a bushfire nearby and the smoke comes in, you could choke. We could leave it open, like we could leave the window open in the bathroom during the day and other windows open during the day, but they did not leave any of the windows open at night, because of the risk that if there is a fire nearby and that smoke comes in, then it's just gonna you could conceivably choke to death even if you don't get hit by the fire, you know. So it's that's something that I wouldn't even think of, to be honest. So that's one piece of advice for travelers that I would definitely give. And Belle, do you have some other tips for travelers to Australia that they should think about in terms of it's random. I mean, you could be driving around and turn around a corner and maybe one just starts, but I don't know. Any other tips?
What about timing wise? I mean, is there certain times of the year to travel? like that might be safer. And I just want to say, you know, you have a problem when you have an app for it. I'm just going to put that out there. but yeah, is there a particular time? But I mean, I don't know.
Yes, summer would definitely be in South Australia, Victoria, New South Wales. The fire season is definitively summer because it's hot and that's when it's drier. So you don't really, it's not as much of a problem during there, which the seasons are backwards, or the seasons are the other way around. So when it's, our winter is their summer. The bushfire season, the worst of it in those states is typically January, February, but because it was so hot and it was a bad year, they started in December. So really December, January, February are the worst months for the bushfires.
So according to our, like, you and I are both in North America. So like I'm in Toronto, you guys are in Washington. So we're in the same time zone, I believe. So for us, our winters and summers are pretty much the same. So you're saying that our winters are their summers. So that it would be bad to go there in our winter.
Yeah, and it's a great time for us to go there. That's part of the reason why, like, when we go back to visit Australia, I really like to go during what amounts to bushfire season because we're escaping our winter.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
and it's warm there. It's lovely. It's, you know, t-shirt and shorts weather, and it's a proper vacation.
Yeah, it's also bushfire weather too.
But it is bushfire weather as well. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You can't get it all. You always have, there's always, almost always, just something bad with something good.
Yeah, fair enough.
I would say, like, staying in the cities, like, if we had stayed only in Adelaide and not been out driving on, like, small country roads, and I mean, Alex was with family also out, you know, sort of exploring. If you're in the cities, bushfires are not something that's really a huge threat to you.
Okay.
It is really the smaller communities. And if you do decide to go out on the country roads, I mean, in Australia, they can be desolate. And, you know, you are surrounded by beautiful outback, like the gum trees, the smell. It's wonderful. You know, looking for koalas in the tree was a favorite pastime as a child. Also, I'm sure our parents loved us doing it because it shut us up, basically. But it is lovely. And so you should try to go out and do that because it's a great experience. But you do need to turn the news on in the morning and check, are there bushfires happening on the route that you're planning to take that day? And then, as Alex mentioned, there's an app, you know, you can watch that. I mean, in rural Australia, you might not have up-to-date access always.
Right.
With, you know, the cell phone service is not super, you know, always comprehensive, but just keeping an eye on it in the morning can still be helpful.
Right.
Because, like, those roads that we were on in the Adelaide Hills, I mean, if, you know, fire had come, we would have been fairly trapped. These are small, windy roads that are not, you know, they're not super high. We were not taking the highways anywhere. We were deliberately trying to get away from that. And it is beautiful and you should do it. I highly recommend doing it, but you should just be cognizant of the surroundings.
Right.
And that's true anywhere when you're traveling. Like, I think it's easy to forget sometimes and you sort of apply the rules of home, but you really shouldn't. You should be a little bit more like vigilant on like what's going on in your surroundings because it's not your normal. And even though it was my old normal, it's not my current normal. And so, yeah.
Nothing is normal anymore.
No. Oh, I know. Nothing's normal. Yeah. But without the app on your phone, yeah. I mean, you could drive, you could escape one fire and potentially even drive
into another so one. Yeah.
When I was in New South Wales, I was in Raymond Terrace, that's where my stepsister and her husband live, which is just north of Newcastle, a couple hours north of Sydney. So then I was also in Sydney, and the air quality from the bushfires was, it was like Beijing. It reminded me of being in a smog-covered Beijing. People were wearing masks. So it was a bit like a prelude to now, because this is early January this year, just a few months ago. And yeah, been quite a year between escaping the my trips this year have been nuts, escaping COVID in Europe and then the bushfires in Australia. And yeah, I did this gorgeous hike from Bondi Beach. There's a beautiful 6-kilometer hike from Sydney's Bondi Beach to Coogee Beach. And I did that hike and it was gorgeous, but there was the smoke was covering that area as well. I mean, I have videos that some of my videos I posted on in Instagram stories, people were like, oh my God, like you could just see the smoke covering this gorgeous cliff walk and beachside area. And it's Australia. People are chill. Everyone, you know, the beach is still packed with people, even though it's, you know, covered in smoke. Yeah, I caught up with some old friends. They met up with me in Sydney. We met at a rooftop bar. And I meet up with them at the bar, and they're like, holy crap, love. They're like, look at the video. They came in. They live in Campbelltown, which is just not far outside of Sydney. So they caught the train, and they showed me a video. They could just see this huge fire from the train. And they recorded it coming into Sydney, and they showed me the video. And I was like, man, that's just absolutely nuts. Yeah, and then just something to add, like just travel horror stories. When I was staying at my stepsister and her husband's house, my mom passed away as well. So that was New Year's Day. That was New Year's Day here in the U.S. as well. It was technically in Australia because it's quite a few hours ahead. It was in the very early morning hours of January 2nd in Australia, but it was New Year's Day here in the States. She was living in Buffalo, New York. I was, you know, and she had been sick, but it still really caught me off guard that it was that soon. We went for Thanksgiving, and the last day I saw her was on my birthday at the end of November. So, I mean, that was just a devastating gut punch to be so far away as well. I had an opportunity. She had, had just all of a sudden gotten very sick, and I had a very limited window to just say goodbye to her on the phone. But that was obviously something that very shook me up and changed the dynamic of the trip to, you know, because I was with them and we still went to, like, you know, there's nothing that could be done at that point. So she passed, but I was with them for 4 days, and that day we just chilled out, and we still ended up going to one of the Hunter Valley wineries, which is the wineries in Australia. These bushfire areas are also some of Australia's best wine regions. In South Australia, the Barossa Valley is considered the best, and then Yarra in Victoria and the Hunter Valley in New South Wales, and they were near that. I just tried to still, because I hadn't seen those guys in years, still, you know, it was, and I was glad to be with family during that time as well. It's been a rough year for all of us, and yeah, so this year just from the very beginning just kicked me in the face. Oh, so
gosh, I mean, yeah, I'm so sorry you had to deal with that, because I can't even imagine. But I noticed that your stories always end up with wine somehow. I'm thinking back to the Catania stories, and I was like, there's always wine with this guy in his stories.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think I've always been a big UB40 fan, and, you know, just thinking of red wine, you know, it makes me feel so fine.
You're awesome.
thank you, likewise.
Thank you. But honestly, but fantastic story, man. Thank you guys so much for sharing your stories and your insights. Really, wow. I mean, that's something. How can people find you guys if they want to check out your stuff? Because I'm sure you have articles about Australia and things like that, and you're describing some really beautiful places. I will say one thing about Australia. I've seen a lot of videos. It's definitely on my to-go list. The street that I live on is actually called Adelaide, so it's probably something to do with that. I look at some of the videos and documentaries, and it's definitely 100% without a doubt one of the places that I want to visit, especially the outback. But then I see these desolate roads, and all I think about is if my car breaks down, I don't know what the hell I would do, like with no Wi-Fi signal. I think there was actually a show about like one of those Survivor Man shows or something like that, where he had to try to survive in the outback, so try to find water, and he was giving all these tips about, you know, finding cactuses and things like that. And it was just nuts. And I was like, wow. So that kind of like, I think I'm just going to stay in places like Sydney and Adelaide and Melbourne, where there's actual civilization. No. But no, I kid. I would definitely want to go out and explore the outback. So yeah. So definitely share, send me some links with some places to visit. And I'll definitely put them in the show notes so people can check that out. But where can people find you guys on the internet?
So the website's wanderlustmarriage.com. And then we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Instagram's the one we use the most. The Instagram handle's @wanderlustmarriage. And then I also have another Instagram account, travelguide_Alex, because I solo travel a lot as well. Bell's not always with me. And then maybe some other things that I wouldn't share on Wanderlust Marriage, I put on Travel Guide Alex. And so, yeah, those are the main places. And I would say for people, if you're going to Australia, if you're traveling out in the country, I mean, it's a good tip here. Make sure to have plenty of water with you. If you do break down, you know, if you have multiple days worth of water and you have food, they may be very desolate and there's a few cars coming by, but eventually someone will come by. Hopefully that's a decent person that will help you, but there definitely tends to be some camaraderie in those parts because there are such few roads. So almost anybody would stop and help you out. But it's life. There's always a few bad apples out there. So, I mean, you could get unlucky, but you'd have to be pretty unlucky. There's always a chance something bad can happen, you know, anywhere at any time.
Awesome. That's a perfect tip. So thank you guys so much for being on the show. You guys are awesome.
Hey, thank you so much for having us. You're awesome as well, Christopher.
And, yeah, thank you. It's fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
And Belle, if you want to come back on the show to share any one of your injury stories, you could do a whole show just on injuries and insurance, because that's something that is quite popular on this show. So
I do have some tips on because I did end up having to travel with a broken foot.
All right, look.
But I broke it here. So.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, another one. Yeah, for Ireland. Yeah, you could take a whole episode of just all of the hospital visits, and then in Ireland. Yeah, she's got hospital visits in Austria, Greece. And then traveling in Ireland with a broken foot, a fractured foot that she was in a boot. So she's got all kinds of hospital and injury stories to share. All
right. We'll be in touch.
Cool.
All right, sounds good, guys.
Thank you.
All right, case closed. That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget that you can listen to the show over at www.travelhorrorstoriespodcast.com. And if you're listening on your mobile device, please take a second to give the episode a 5-star rating and leave a comment. It really helps the show and its episodes get discovered by more people. Plus, your feedback will help me tweak and change the show to make it the best show on the internet. Yes. Cheers.